I call this meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 8:01 on Thursday, May 13th, 2021. I want to thank our House Record Secretary, Lori Rowland, and our LIO moderator, Kelsey Riker, for helping us with behind-the-scenes work here in the committee today. As we start, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative McCarty, Representative Drummond, Co-Chair Hannon, Representative McCabe, Representative Prox, and myself, Co-Chair Schrage. Today, the committee will be taking up Senate Bill 95, Search and Rescue Surplus State Property, and Senate Joint Resolution 13, Improved Broadband Internet Access. Our first order of business today will be SB 95, Search and Rescue Surplus State Property, sponsored by Senator Wilson. Senate Bill 95 is the companion bill to Representative Johnson's HB 16, which the committee held two committee hearings on previously. We plan to hear from the bill sponsor, take any public testimony, and then look to the will of the committee. With that, I'd like to invite up Senator Wilson and his Senator Wilson and his staff to the table. If you would like to put yourselves on the record and proceed with any testimony or presentation, please do so.
Good morning, Chair Schrage, Co-Chair Schrage, and Co-Chair Hannon, and the rest of the community and regional affairs. My name is Senator David Wilson, Senator for District D, and I believe on the line is my trustee staff, Ms. Jasmine Martin. The Senate Bill 95, as you said, Mr. Chair, is a companion to House Bill 16, which the committee has already had multiple chances to hearing. So I think the bill is pretty much identical. This bill, again, allows the volunteer search and rescue groups in Alaska to exercise the right of first refusal of the state property, which so many search and rescue groups across this vast state, being the last frontier, a lot of folks get lost and or may need the help of those volunteer vitals groups, which the troopers help coordinate under the statute. And with that, I'll take any questions, Mr. Chair.
Are there any questions from committee members for the senator? Very good. And I do not believe we received any amendments for SB 95. Are there any amendments from committee members that were not previously noticed? Very good. With that, we will go to public testimony, and I am going to open public testimony. And I'm just looking online here, and it looks like we do not have any public testimony. I'm looking to our moderator and nodding that there is not. So I'm going to close public testimony. Is there any further discussion on SB 95? And seeing none, Representative McCarty.
Okay, through the chair, just the fact that this is a great idea to be able to, you know, get the surplus out to the different rescue entities, being involved in the rescue and search and rescue and different things, volunteering, that was, you know, scramble to go hunt for that and to avail that first to those sources is excellent. So thanks for bringing it.
Wonderful. Couldn't agree more. And thank you, Senator Wilson. All right. Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Co-Chair Schrage. Just wondering how it's materially different, if there is any differences from the one we passed out of committee.
Representative McCabe, it's my understanding that there are no changes from what was passed out, from what we heard in committee. I believe the only difference would be that the amendment to strike the name has not been made to this, the Senate version of the bill. So that would be the one difference between what we've looked at previously.
That's to
Representative McCabe.
Thanks. So, yeah, to me that's way less important than what the bill accomplishes. So I think I'm probably happy with this. I agree totally with this. I wish we could go further, frankly. So our search and rescue groups need as much of a hand as we can give them, I think, for the amount of effort and amount of time that they put in. So.
Very good. Thank you, Representative McCabe. Co-Chair Hannon, did you have comments? Otherwise,
nope.
Looking to you for a motion, please.
I move Senate Bill 95, version 32LS0593/I, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note from committee.
Hearing no objections, Senate Bill 95 moves from committee. We're now going to move on to our second order of business, Senate Joint Resolution 13, Improved Broadband Internet Access, sponsored by the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. Before we start, we're going to adopt a committee substitute, which has been which has incorporated several changes requested by the bill sponsor. I'd like to entertain a motion.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the committee adopt work draft 32LS0756/G from Senate Joint Resolution 13 as our working document.
All right, and I'm going to object so that my staff can come up to explain the changes made in the committee substitute. Ryan Johnson, if you could please put yourself on the record and walk us through those changes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. For the record, Ryan Johnston, staff to Representative Shiragi. There's a summary of changes that was provided in the bill packet for members. Version G incorporates two additions and one change that was brought to the co-chairs by the sponsor of the bill. On the summary of changes, page 2, lines 6 through 8, there's a section added for unmanned aircraft operations, pointing out the importance for broadband when it comes to cargo and medical supply delivery to our remote communities. Page 2, line 16, there's a section added for whereas, indicating the importance of broadband for higher education and its importance to the advancement of the state. And then on page 3, line 30, it replaced Leon Morgan with James Cockrell, who has now been confirmed as the Commissioner of Public Safety. So those that is the summary of changes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. All right, with that, I'm going to remove my objection to adopting the committee substitute. Is there further objection to adopting the committee substitute? All right, seeing none, the work draft has been adopted. With that, I'd like to invite up Senator Hughes' staff to the table. If you could please put yourself on the record, and I believe you have a short presentation or introduction. Please proceed.
For the record, my name is Dawson Mann, staff to Senator Hughes. Senator Hughes apologizes. She had another obligation at this time, and hopefully she will be joining us soon. I will begin by reading a few notes that from the Senator's binder regarding SJR 13. It is well known that in many parts of the state, internet access is scarce at best. In regions such as the unorganized borough, the internet can be extremely limited, slow, and prohibitive in terms of cost. In order for those regions to grow and increase their autonomy, an economic base is fundamental. Alaska certainly faces unique challenges to keep up with the rest of the developed world, considering that our communities are often separated by vast distances and geographical impediments. These facts, combined with winter weather, relatively low businessmen in certain areas, and limited daylight hours half the year, are all challenges not only in the initial deployment of services, but to the ongoing operation and maintenance, and can be exorbitant in cost. As internet access becomes more readily available in particular regions of the state, we see its benefits in education, healthcare, and commerce. Improved broadband in areas of Alaska where the capacity is now slow and limited could bring us similar benefits. Senate Joint Resolution 13 aims to address the issues of broadband access, speed, capacity, and affordability in the state by urging Congress to include the information highway in any forthcoming federal infrastructure legislation, just as roads, bridges, ports, and other projects essential for functional and vibrant society are included. Passage of SJR 13 would send a clear message that the legislature firmly supports broadband deployment in the state, recognizes the benefit of broadband, urges engagement with stakeholders throughout the state, and requests technology-neutral and flexible funding criteria in federal appropriation legislation to allow for Alaska's unique terrain and size. Now, Mr. Co-Chair, with your permission, I was going to read a quick summary of the resolve statements.
Please proceed.
The first resolve statement states that the legislature supports further broadband deployment and urges the administration of the state to streamline right-of-way and review processes. The second resolve statement states that the legislature urges the administration to avoid unnecessary fees and roadblocks to broadband deployment. The third resolve statement states that the legislature urges the administration to seek input from broadband providers in the state before making changes to policies relating to broadband. The fourth whereas statement urges that the administration develop develop a temporary, centralized, technology-neutral broadband internet access working group in the state. The fifth resolve statement states that the legislature urges the U.S. Congress to include broadband funding in any federal infrastructure plan along with other forms of vital infrastructure. The sixth resolve statement urges broadband providers to use savings from federal infrastructure legislation to provide broadband services at reduced rates to state and political subdivisions. The seventh resolve statement adds that the legislature urges Alaska's congressional delegation to advocate for flexible funding parameters to help Alaska's unique challenges, such as vast distances between communities, harsh winters, mountainous terrains, and tundra. Copies of this resolution will be delivered to the President of the United States, congressional leadership, Alaska congressional delegation, the governor, and the commissioner of all departments under the governor's administration. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Mann. Representative Prox, I see you have a question, but I'd actually like to go. We have invited testimony and I believe a small presentation, so I'd like to go to that first before taking questions, if that's acceptable. With that, we have Christine O'Connor, Executive Director of the Alaska Telecom Association on Microsoft Teams. Ms. O'Connor, if you could please put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony and or presentation.
Thank you, Co-Chair Shragi. It's a great pleasure to join you today, and we appreciate you reviewing and considering SJR 13. For the record, my name is Christine O'Connor, and I am the Executive Director at Alaska Telecom Association. This morning, I'd like to briefly share our perspective about why SJR 13 is important. To do that, I'll give you a brief snapshot of the improvements in broadband networks which are underway today and recently completed, and then talk about the provisions of the resolution which will support even more access to broadband for Alaskans. Next slide, please.
And we're pulling up those slides now. If you could give us just a few seconds here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Wonderful. And we'll take just a very brief at ease while we wait for that. Oh, actually, we're up and running here, so we'll proceed to the next slide. Is this the intended slide? We're on slide
yes,
2.
Yes, Chair Shaggy, that's correct.
Very good. Please proceed.
First, a quick overview of ATA. This slide should look pretty familiar. Alaska Telecom Association's members are the Alaska-based companies providing landline, wireless, and broadband services throughout Alaska. ATA itself was formed in 1949, and we have been supporting our member companies in connecting Alaskans ever since. Next slide, please. I often find it useful to organize my thinking around broadband infrastructure by looking at it in two parts, last mile and middle mile. Last mile is that connection from the broadband provider to your home or business.
Mr. Alaska's Connor, one broadband moment, please. Provider. Mr. Johnson, if you could please advance to the next slide. Thank you, and go ahead and proceed, Ms. O'Connor. Thank you.
Thank you, Co-Chair Shragi. Slide 3, please. Alaska's providers are deploying last mile, those connections from the provider to your home or business, at a rapid pace. Approximately 60,000 locations have been upgraded or deployed in recent years. A few projects recently completed include Alaska Communications has brought high-speed internet to 16,000 rural Alaska residents since 2017. Alaska Power and Telephone has completed high-speed deployments in interior and multiple locations in southeast Alaska. Copper Valley Telecom completed a fiber-to-the-home project in Tetitlik. GCI increased wireless speeds in Dillingham and surrounding communities. This is just a small sample of the deployment activity in the last mile networks that's happening right now. Next slide, please. But to connect to the internet, you must have both parts, last mile and middle mile. It's like a chicken and the egg problem. Some recent new middle mile projects include Alaska Power and Telephone constructed an undersea cable between Juneau, Haines, and Skagway, and is doubling the capacity of their microwave network between Juneau and Ketchikan. And they were recently awarded a grant to run an undersea fiber between Juneau and Prince of Wales Island. Cordova Telecom expanded their microwave network in Prince William Sound, and was recently awarded a major grant to extend a microwave network to Yakutat. GCI added capacity to 42 microwave sites in Western Alaska and was also awarded a major grant to run an undersea fiber to Unalaska. KPU completed Ketchikan 1, the first undersea connection to Canada, completing their connecting to their fiber to the home network. And Matanuska Telephone Association constructed their Alcan 1 project, the first terrestrial fiber connection from Alaska into Canada. Nishiat Cooperative completed a major expansion of their microwave network. And I'd like to note and point out that both the MTA and KPU projects are providing new routes from Alaska to the lower 48, which expands the capacity of our networks, but also provides important geographic diversity in case of disaster. I will stop my laundry list there, but I wanted to give you a sense of the tremendous level of activity underway. There are still gaps, but every year, link by link, Alaska's telecom providers are closing those gaps. Next slide, please. As I've just discussed briefly, Alaska broadband providers are working at a furious pace to bring broadband to everyone. SJR 13 correctly notes that Alaska Telecom Association members have invested over $1 billion in capital expenditures just since 2017. But there is much more to do, and SJR 13 makes important recommendations which will help accelerate deployment. The resolution correctly recognizes that the state of Alaska can encourage and even accelerate deployment through timely permit approval and reasonable fees. It urges continued access to rights of way and a streamlined permitting process. It also recognizes that burdensome fees and surcharges are an impediment to broadband deployment, and it urges the elimination of these barriers. This is critical. Rights of way can be the tipping point which accelerate, delay, or even stop a broadband project. If an agency is not timely, projects simply do not go forward. Or if an agency assesses onerous surcharges or other fees, this drives the cost of the entire project up, diverting resources away from further deployment, and it can even be enough to stop a project. The resolution also urges the governor's administration to seek input from broadband providers regarding policy changes. This is critical because Alaska's telecommunications infrastructure depends on a complex patchwork of federal and state programs, policies, and regulations, which all must be calibrated to work together in supporting broadband access. Any changes must be examined in light of this complex landscape. Alaska's broadband providers are immersed in this complexity, and we are eager to share our expertise with policymakers who are seeking to understand it and make recommendations and decisions. We commend Governor Dunleavy for the formation of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband, and we are looking forward to working with other stakeholders in this new forum. The resolution also urges Congress to recognize that broadband is infrastructure, and our congressional delegation to support flexible funding mechanisms which recognize our unique circumstances. We heartily support these positions and are eager to support our senators and congressmen in finding solutions for Alaska. Next slide, please. So thank you again for hearing SJR 13 today. This resolution makes important findings and urges actions which will result in more broadband access for Alaskans. And thank you very much again for the invitation to participate today.
Thank you very much, Ms. O'Connor. And it looks like we have a question from, I'm going to give a first chance to Representative Prox since he had his hand up earlier. Do you have a question for Ms. O'Connor, Representative Prox? Alternatively,
yes.
Oh, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I guess the underlying goal of this is laying fiber optic cables from here to there. Is that a correct understanding of what's going on?
Through the chair, Representative Prox, a simple answer is yes, wherever possible. Fiber is the gold standard technology that allows tremendous capacity and very fast speeds. It's what's often being discussed as the future-proof network. In some very remote areas of Alaska, it has been until now too expensive to run fiber. We do have a lot of microwave networks, which also can provide very high-speed broadband. But our goal, you are correct, is to run fiber wherever possible.
And quick follow-up, if I could have a follow-up, yes. How does this interface with efforts to establish a satellite-based system?
Through the chair, Representative Prox, our networks in Alaska, our telecommunications networks, already have satellite service embedded in them. It is integral to service in many, many remote areas. So as we're seeing talk about new low Earth orbit satellites and other satellite capacity, when it becomes available, I expect it to be integrated into the networks that provide service just as we use satellite today.
And Mr. Mann, I believe you wanted to jump in here.
Yes, through the chairs, Representative Prox. I just wanted to point out that SJR 13, through its language, is 100% technology neutral. It does not make a distinction between fiber optics or satellite. The term broadband covers anything that's not dial-up in terms of internet. And it was our intention in crafting this resolution that we were not signaling whether we prefer fiber optics or satellites. They're all included within the terms. And there's even within the terminology of the task force, we intentionally put technology neutral on the recommendation of satellite groups because we don't want to limit ourselves in any way, because the main point of this resolution is getting internet service out to rural areas, not picking winners and losers when it comes to the debate amongst internet providers.
Thank you. And Representative McCabe, if you'd like to ask a brief question. I know we have a couple other individuals with, here to provide invited testimony, and we also do have an 8:30 conflict that we'll have to recess for, so I would like to move quickly.
Sure, no problem. Thanks. Ms. O'Connor, through the chair, I'm interested, you said middle mile and last mile. What's the first mile? And this might turn into what Representative Prox was saying, but what is the first mile? Is it satellite? Obviously, you're not going to be able to get fiber optic out to some places. They can't even hardly get cell phone service out to my place. So what's the first mile?
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, Mr. Mann's comments were just spot on. It depends on where you are, what the network is, what the technology is. If you're in an area which has fiber, it could be fiber clear to your home, essentially a fiber string from Seattle to your home. But in many areas, especially when you get off the road system, you'll have fiber coming up to Anchorage or another peering point. Then you may have a microwave connection, or then you may have a copper connection to your home. It could be a wireless connection to your home. Or you could also have a satellite connection coming into your nearest telco location, and then that piece, the satellite capacity, is delivered to your home through a copper, or in some cases even satellite is feeding fiber to your home. So it's a very much all technologies in use to get the best service to Alaskans.
Okay. Well, wouldn't that be nice?
All right, and thank you, Representative McCabe, and thank you for your testimony, Ms. O'Connor. With that, we're going to continue with invited testimony with the hope that we'll be able to get everyone in before we have to recess so they don't have to come back necessarily. So with that, I'd like to go to Ryan Ponder, Director, Legal Director, Regulatory and Government Affairs for MTA. Mr. Ponder, if you could please put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony, ideally keeping it under 2 minutes or so.
Good morning, Co-Chair Shragi, Co-Chair Hannon, and members of the committee. My name is Ryan Ponder. I'm the Director of Legal, Regulatory, and Government Affairs at Matanuska Telephone Association. Matanuska Telephone Association, more commonly known as MTA, is unique. As a nonprofit cooperative, MTA is focused on serving the needs of the company's owners. This is because MTA is Alaska-owned by all of its member customers. MTA has seen and experienced firsthand a lifetime worth of advancements in technology. MTA was established in 1953, decades before the phrase digital age was even thought of. Clearly, if adopted and implemented, Senate Joint Resolution Number 13 will help MTA's customers stay connected well into the future with their family, community, healthcare needs, education, employment, and commerce. SJR 13 accurately portrays the essential lifeline that broadband has become for our society. If adopted, the proposed resolves that the Alaska State Legislature would support include, one, widespread broadband deployment by removing state-imposed right-of-way and permitting roadblocks that have been, at some points, delaying MTA's broadband deployment projects by many months, or fee structures that take away funds that would otherwise be applied to broadband deployment in our communities. Two, seeking broadband providers' input before making policy changes affecting broadband providers. And three, calling upon the United States Congress to include broadband in the 2021 federal infrastructure legislation, coupled with urging our Alaska delegation to advocate for flexible funding parameters. Each of these will assist in future-proofing the way Alaskans stay connected. MTA supports SJR 13 and thanks this committee for the opportunity to testify before you today. Co-Chair Shragi, this concludes my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ponder, and I appreciate your brevity. All right, next up we're going to go to our last invited testifier that I see online, Liesl McGuire from OneWeb. Ms. McGuire, if you could please put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Hannon, Chair Shragi, and members of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee. It's wonderful to see all of your faces and an honor to appear before you today to express my support for SJR 13. For the record, my name is Liesl McGuire. I'm here today representing OneWeb. OneWeb is the first licensed low Earth orbit satellite constellation project. We're launching hundreds of satellites to connect to a network of ground stations like the one here in Talkeetna, Alaska, and on to user terminals to deliver resilient, high-speed, low-latency, seamless broadband to the unconnected and underconnected people all across the globe. We're beginning our service in Alaska first, and we'll complete our polar and Alaska coverage with our June 25th launch of 34 more satellites. We're encouraged by the leadership and focus Senator Hughes and her committee have placed on the issue of rural broadband connectivity and the importance of bridging the digital divide in new and exciting ways. SJR 13 makes important findings about the impact improved broadband infrastructure could have on Alaskans. It identifies important steps that should be taken by Congress in infrastructure funding. It urges the governor's office to seek input from broadband providers before making policy changes that impact providers. And finally, urges the Alaska delegation to advocate for flexible broadband funding parameters. As we contemplate broadband access for Alaskans, it's important to consider that middle mile that has eluded so many students, teachers, patients, healthcare providers, search and rescue teams, and Alaskan families. It has been since 2019 that the legislature has weighed in on broadband policy in such a focused and deep manner. And much has changed in that time period. Today, satellite projects like OneWeb and others are bringing new and meaningful LEO and geospatial connectivity to our people. We appreciate the open-minded, curious, and technology-neutral approach the Senate committee took in crafting this joint resolution, and would encourage this committee to pass Senate Joint Resolution 13 out of committee with its support. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair and Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Ms. McGuire. All right. I know we said we were going to recess at 8:30, but we have one public testifier online, and I don't want them to have to come back on short notice. So with that, I'm going to open public testimony. Marge Stone King, if you could please put yourself on the record and proceed with a brief testimony, no more than 2 minutes. We're on a very tight time schedule here.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Marge Stone King with AARP Alaska. AARP supports the goals of the joint resolution to begin to reduce the digital divide in Alaska. AARP is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization that works on issues that matter to elders and their families, including caregiving, aging in place, and access to affordable high-speed internet, also known as broadband. Ubiquitous, affordable, reliable, high-speed internet access can benefit all segments of our society, including our seniors. For elders, access to broadband makes aging in place possible by providing access to telehealth, civic engagement, entrepreneurism, teleworking, connections with family and friends, educational opportunities, and access to vital assistance programs. We know that older Alaskans have been falling increasingly behind in digital connectivity, which negatively affects overall health and well-being. Poor broadband not only limits access to essential public health info, social services, and apps that manage chronic conditions, but it also leads to risk of social isolation, which has now been linked to negative health outcomes, reduced quality of life, and premature death. So for these reasons, AARP urges passage of this resolution, and then that the legislature take the next step beyond a temporary task force by creating a cross-cutting governance structure in the form of a state broadband office in the Department of Community, Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, or at the Denali Commission, as recommended in the 2019 blueprint. The Alaska Broadband Task Force previously served the purpose well at the time in bringing stakeholders together to set goals laid out in the blueprint. And the Denali Commission updated the blueprint in 2019. However, no designated entity exists to oversee the implementation of the plan, continue engagement with diverse stakeholders, including consumers, not just providers, and ensure equity and accountability in federal funding decisions. Strategic data analysis, maintenance, and public access to high-speed internet access, coverage data and maps, establishment of service quality standards, broad stakeholder engagement, infrastructure funding decisions, and oversight of broadband markets should be the focus of a dedicated state broadband office that can help policymakers to make informed decisions about how to reduce and eventually eliminate the digital divide in Alaska and to bring digital equity to all Alaskans. So thank you for taking this up and moving it forward, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share AARP's views on this matter.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Stone King. And if you could please send your testimony to the committee, we would greatly appreciate that and would distribute that to members. With that, I'm going to close public testimony, seeing no one else online. And with that, we are going to recess to the call of the chair. Thank you, committee members. Regional Affairs Committee back to order, and we were taking up SJR 13, which I'm looking for in my script here. Yes, SJR 13, improved broadband internet access. We had just concluded with invited and public testimony. In the room, we have Mr. Mann available should committee members have questions. If you could please come back up to the table just in the event that we do. Are there questions from committee members about this Senate joint resolution before we pass it out of committee? Not. Representative Prox, I figured you might have one.
Yeah, he has to. I don't know how it is. Yeah. I don't know. I guess just a word of caution, all of this enthusiasm. Technology or nothing else brings happiness. And I recall back in the 70s, RatNet was implemented, and that's the Rural Alaska Telephone Network. And it just made a sea change in the culture of the villages. And this, when we get this technology interconnectedness, it does affect those things. And the culture of Fairbanks has changed. And just so we recognize where we're going, and to not get too enthusiastic about any one thing. There's a kind of a scar up and down the Dalton Highway from a fiber optic installation that probably didn't have enough thought put into it, into the installation. And then there was some big deal where, I don't even remember the details, but it was multi-million dollars project that just, boop, it kind of didn't exist. And there's old telegraph lines, telephone poles, laying cockeyed up and down the roads and whatnot. So it's wonderful stuff. Technology's wonderful, but just it is not the end-all and be-all, just so we recognize that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Prox. Co-Chair Hannon.
Well, and I'm not debating or disagreeing with Representative Prox, but the thing that gets my attention and support is that the 21st century economy is so global, and especially in the year of COVID, we've learned so much of the economy can be done remotely over the internet. And you know, as we've looked at trying to develop, especially rural Alaska or places where you don't have cheap electricity or transportation costs are horrific, the idea that we could infuse across Alaska the ability to be very active and engaged in global economic development without having to do the transportation and electricity piece, but with internet, that job as a financier on the Hong Kong market could be done from Point Hope. Those things could be done anywhere if this piece of the infrastructure was there. And I think the internet infrastructure in the long term is a cheaper investment than transportation, water, and electricity. We need to do all those things, but I think we can help change the economy of remote parts of Alaska faster through increasing internet and broadband capacity than the time lag to build up the power and roads to do it. We're going to still do those things, but I think this perhaps helps Alaska leap forward. I do a lot of work, and my husband and I, in West Africa, and one of the things that's happened there is, you know, they made a direct leap in many parts of Africa from having nothing to everybody having a satellite connection. You still don't have water and sewer in your communities, but you've got satellite, cell phone, and the ability to now engage in commerce and communications that you were never going to have the infrastructure that a generation before depended on to do that. So looking forward for Alaska's future, the more internet capable we are, the better our economy can grow.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I saw the huge disparity in schools last year when everything went online because of COVID. I mean, we've got communities, there are 30 plus communities in rural Alaska that don't have running water or proper sanitation, and that's a terrible thing to happen with a pandemic where you're supposed to be washing your hands all the time. And to, you know, to add insult to injury, they don't have any way to communicate. I mean, just selling one's crafts on the internet is not possible when all you have is a dial-up dial-up connection, or little better than that, or the unreliability of satellite broadband. I think low Earth orbit satellite is very exciting stuff, and the more of them that are up there, the better the signal will be. But health and education and commerce all rely on connectedness. I mean, the last thing we want to do is force villages to have to consider to moving to urban Alaska. That's absurd. This is not the way we should be treating the people in our state. We need to bring these services to them. And this is not about broadband, but several years ago, Mira Kohler, the executive director of the Village, Alaska Village Electric Cooperative, had this brilliant idea of creating of a power plant using natural gas on the North Slope, delivering electricity. I think it's called low-powered DC across Western Alaska that would have really cut the cost of electricity to Western Alaska. I've heard nothing about that plan, and we're still struggling to produce natural gas and get it out of the North Slope when we don't have to remove it from the North Slope. We can produce electricity right there and benefit thousands of Alaskans in rural Alaska. We need to be open to these kinds of technologies, and I'm just delighted that the Congress has named broadband a critical piece of infrastructure, because if we don't have that, we don't have the ability. And you know, we just have to leapfrog over Canada. If Canada's not going to let us in, we've got to leapfrog around her, or just forget it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. Mr. Monda, do you have anything to add?
No, not.
Okay, very good. Is there any further discussion from committee members before we take action?
No.
Very good. With that, Co-Chair Hannon, I'm looking to you for a motion, please.
I move Senate Joint Resolution 95, version 32-LS0756/G, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note from committee.
Seeing no objections, SJR 13 moves from committee. I would ask committee members to please stick around for a few moments so that we can sign the committee report. With nothing else to come before the committee, we are adjourned at 9:28 a.m.